Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. I wanted to, on the broadcast today, to look at two things. One, I saw a post that was done by Kevin DeYoung, just came out this morning, that I wanted to read. This one deals with the subject of graduation, so it's kind of timely, of course. And so I wanted to get to that today and look at that subject. And it's entitled The Idea of, it's entitled Beware the Graduation Speech. And so he looks at, you know, a typical graduation speech and then makes some comments along that line. So I want to talk about that, but also I wanted to talk about the passage of Scripture that I addressed this past Lord's Day. I preached on this Lord's Day and look at a couple of the comments that I made during that sermon this past Lord's Day as well. It was a passage that deals with a couple of point, specifically the idea of glorifying God, you know, about living a godly lifestyle, walking before Him in a way that is worthy of who He is and what He has done for us, but then also about glory itself, about the glory that awaits all those that walk in a way that is pleasing before God, all those that have been called into fellowship with Him. For all the Christians, let me put it that way, that the glory that awaits us. So I want to look at that text of Scripture in just a minute. Kevin DeYoung's post on Beware the Graduation Speech, he says this, graduation season is upon us. Colleges have been handing out diplomas for several weeks, and the high school ceremonies are right around the corner. It can be a wonderful opportunity for honoring past accomplishments and looking forward to the future adventures. If you're graduating this spring, I hope you enjoy all the festivities and have a great time with your family and friends. Just don't believe everything you hear in the graduation speech. So there's how he sets it up to begin with. And again, he's not taking issue with that, you know, all these young people have graduated and they're rejoicing over their graduation. He wishes them well on all those types of things. But he's just zeroing in on the typical graduation speech and some of the comments that are made. I talked about this a little bit on the broadcast the other day when I was looking at a statement that was made by Dana Perino. And on the PragerU, you know, it dealt with graduation as well. And I was just talking about how much of the advice that she had given there, I just found to be not helpful at all. You know, it just was basically, if I remember right, I said it boiled down to three different categories. You know, one she just said for, you know, people that were graduating to move. The other one was that they should be minimalist. They should get rid of everything that they own, basically, and really just own a few items in this world. And then her last point there was dealing with to make your own way. You know, you just have to make your own way in life and so forth. And I just said, those three points right there as advice to graduates are not really going to help much in this life. A lot of times, you know, the biggest issue that young people and people in general are dealing with, right, is themselves. And so to have the advice that to move to a different location and that will make a big difference in your life, I just would like to remind people you take you with you when you move. So you have to, if there is an emptiness, if there is a void, if there is some sort of confusion about your identity and who you are, deal with that first before you make some sort of just move to anywhere. You can be influenced positively and negatively in that state where you're not quite sure who you are. You can move to the wrong place. You know, just moving is not automatically to the right, that you've made the right move. A lot of people move and it's the worst thing that they've ever done in their life. They move among people that steer them in a certain direction, an anti-God direction, steer them away from the things of God and so forth. So just moving in itself is not very wise counsel, I don't think. And then the idea of being a minimalist. You know, I get the idea, I guess, that, you know, that it's hard to make decisions when there's a lot of clutter in your life. I would just say we're talking about college graduates here, right? I don't think there is a whole lot of clutter in their life, especially college graduates in our day and age. You know, it's not like they own a home or something, right? They barely buy their own toothpaste, you know, so I don't think that there's a whole lot of that type of clutter in their life. She advocated that she had one glass and one dish and one set of silverware and so forth. And I think it kind of went along with the first point where she was talking about being traveling light so that you could get up at any moment and be flexible and move somewhere else. But basically, then she wasn't just advocating moving once, but moving multiple times, you know, just to continue moving at a whim. If you don't like what you're doing, then get up and move and go do something else. Seemed to be the idea there in that instruction. And then finally at the end, you know, just make your own way. You know, well, people who can make their own way don't need advice. They know what to do, right? So if your advice then is, you know, just do it, just make your own way, it doesn't really help anyone to really, you know, give them information that will help them to make better decisions. Like a doctor, you know, you go there to the doctor. I've heard one comedian talk about it this way. You know, he said that he told them what he had, the problem that he had, say, you know, the problem was heartburn, and then they gave him a list of all the things that cause heartburn. And so he read on the list, you know, doing this would cause heartburn, doing that. He says, well, I already know how to get it. What I came here to you for was how to get rid of it. You know, so in kind of the same vein, some of the instructions and advice that were given by Dana in that, in like I know her personally, by Dana in that advice that she gave on PragerU, she, you know, just kind of says, well, just go do it, you know, do it, be yourself and so forth. Well, Kevin DeYoung kind of takes issue with that here as he goes through the rest of this post. He says, most commencement addresses boil down to three statements. Number one, you're amazing. Number two, follow your dreams. Number three, never give up. You know, that's the idea. And I think he's absolutely right. If you have seen any of these things or listened to any of these speeches, then you'll probably be able to give a hearty amen there. Now, he goes on then to elaborate on each one of these. He says, well, while all three points can be appropriate in the right context, they don't amount to much as a game plan for the future, and so let alone an approach to the good life. So I think that's a good point that he makes there. You know, there are maybe times where something has been done where you do say to a person, you know, that was really well done. You did a well done, you know, you did a great job there. I don't use terms anymore like you're amazing or you're awesome for people because I'm trying to reserve a couple of these words for their proper use. You know, like we sing about amazing grace. I think that's a good use of the word amazing. And when we talk about things being awesome, if you're on social media and that you see all kinds of things that are said to be awesome, right? This hot dog that I just ate was awesome. You know, this skateboarder is awesome, you know, and this type of, no, not really. In the true sense of the word, you know, it's not really awe-inspiring. You know, that hot dog doesn't cause me to stand back and, you know, I'm overwhelmed with awe as I have eaten this Frankfurter. No, I don't get that type of sense from a hot dog or from the skateboarder either. I just don't get that. Did he do a good job? Was that kind of cool what he did? Okay, I'll go that far. But amazing and awesome, I'm going to reserve it for something. God is awesome. Let's put it that way, right? Something worthy of that title. He is truly awe-inspiring when we think about the Almighty as he's revealed to us and so forth. So I don't use those words, but I get his point here. You know, there are some times where affirmation of a job well done is a good thing. I had a guest on the program a long time ago, but I haven't forgotten the interview, and he spoke about the subject of affirmation and about giving affirmation. I had people contact me afterward and say, you know, I got to get a copy of that book. And he was just talking about how powerful that affirmation was. I could look that up here in previous broadcasts and get you the name of that, but or shoot me an email if you want, kttradio@gmail.com. But it was really, you know, a lot of times all we have is bad things to say about people, right? And sometimes even as parents, we seem to only directly address the children, and certainly in any sort of meaningful way, when they do something wrong. And so we have to be careful of that and also add into our instruction affirmation, you know, and really affirm when things are done good. So his first point here is you're amazing. He says, you know, there's certainly times when all three of these things should come into play, but not as a game plan for the future, let alone approaching the good life. He goes on in the article then to say this: central to Western understanding and later Christian understanding of the good life are the four cardinal virtues. Prudence is number one. Justice is number two. Courage is number three, and temperance. Now he's going to describe a couple of these a little bit more, but that is just not something we hear today. I mean, George Bush the first, what was he, 43, 42, the elder one, the dad, and he was, he used to talk about prudence, right? It just wouldn't be prudent, he used to say all the time. So prudence became a word that you would mock people with, you know, using, you know, spoke of antiquity for him to use that type of terminology. So prudence is way out of vogue today, right? Justice, he's going to talk about that in a minute. Unfortunately, it's taken on a different connotation. Courage and temperance, I guess we hear about courage in some ways, but courage, our society said that Bruce Jenner did was a courageous act. You know, for Bruce Jenner to come out and say that he feels like a woman and then to dress like a woman and act like a woman, that was our society said that was what courage, real courage was, you know, for that to take place, took courage to do that and so forth. And I disagree. I don't think that that's what courage really means, and certainly not in the sense that we're talking about here, and certainly not in the biblical sense. And then temperance is something that temperance having the idea of self-control. Now, he goes on here to talk about these. He says, this classic description of character is barely heard in today's moral exhortations, why most graduation speeches posit a different set of virtues. You know, so they don't use these types of terms in what they normally say. You know, so there is, their virtues are typically differentiation, you know, is the idea with them, you know, differential in these things, and differentiation, setting yourself apart from everybody else, or self-expression. That's one. You know, I noticed the other day on this, these students at Notre Dame that had walked out on the vice president's speech, right? I guess they were heading to some sort of safe space that had been carved out for them where they wouldn't have to hear anything that was not in line with what they wanted people to say and so forth. And so you go to some place that maybe there's, like they used to have on these game shows, these soundproof booths that you can go to at like the $64,000 quote. That's a long time ago. But they would have these game shows and they would put the person in the soundproof booth so that they couldn't hear the discussion or the answer or so forth. And then they would bring them out and ask them the question and these types of things. So I guess they were heading there. But on the way there, I don't know if you saw the picture, I'm seeing one of the students lifting up their phone and taking a selfie on the way, right? So I'm doing, look at me, I'm doing this courageous self-expression here. I'm going to walk out on a vice presidential address that is taking place here at our college. Another one that they seem to, one of the virtues that they espouse today is confidence. And the last one is don't let other people stand in your way. You know, the stick-to-itiveness. No matter what anybody else tells you, you go ahead and do it, man, because that's your dream. That's what you want. And if anybody, you know, says anything about that dream, don't listen to them. Stop your ears and just keep on going, because you don't have to listen to that type of negativity. You don't need negativity in your life, right? Isn't that what we hear today? That's so true, is what's there. But, you know, sometimes maybe negativity, hey, the bridge is out, you know, that's negativity. You want to hear that, you know, as you're driving down the road of life. You want to hear the people who know you best, you know, to say to you, yeah, that's not your gift. You know, maybe you shouldn't do that. That's not what God has gifted you with. You're 4'11", and you're going to be 4'11" for the rest of your life. And so aspiring to be a center, basketball player and play the position of a center in basketball in the NBA is probably not, you know, going to work out for you in that role, because height is something that matters there. You see what I'm saying? So to be, you're already this age and now you want to be an Olympic gymnast who are pretty much finished by this age that you're at now, is probably not going to, you know, you're not going to do it. You're not going to have the flexibility to do it. And somebody needs to say that to you. So in this case, he says, but they're told, you know, don't let other people stand in your way. He goes on here to say this, the cardinal virtues which anchored moral thought in the West for 2,500 years have been largely forgotten. You rarely hear about prudence with its calculated pursuit of wisdom and disciplined use of reason, and you certainly never hear about temperance, which puts an emphasis on self-control. You don't hear about humility or meekness or sexual restraint. No, even popular virtues like justice that is mentioned here or courage have morphed. So justice has come to mean a host of policy and political prescriptions, usually for others, he adds, not for ourselves, rather than a way of life in which we not only treat one another fairly, but we do our duty, we show gratitude for what has been given to us, and we give God the honor that he deserves. And he says, today's courage is as self-willed perseverance. It bears some resemblance to the older definition, but it is missing the accompanying virtues of patience and self-sacrifice for the sake of others. You know, that's what real courage is, right? I did a broadcast recently about the soldier that, although I don't agree with his stand that he took as a Seventh-day Adventist on, you know, non-aggression and war and so forth and things like that. He wouldn't carry a gun into battle. So he was a pacifist, basically, although he used a different name for that. But anyways, when he was in that battle, he risked his life to save other people's lives. And therefore, he was a hero in that sense. I can't remember the number of men that he had saved, but it was outstanding. It was, I think, somewhere between 30 and 50 men or something like that, that on Hamburger Hill. Desmond Doss was his name. That's right. And on Hamburger Hill, he had saved all those people. That's courage that's there, right? But the courage that was here, you know, it was... It wasn't that's the type of courage that's being spoken about today isn't that same type of courage. I said Hamburger Hill. I think it was Hacksaw Ridge. That was the name of the video as well, too. So that was the statement that was made about him. Now, he closes, got a couple final paragraphs here, and then I'll end this. But he says, to be sure, no one expects much from a graduation speech. The bar is pretty low. I know I gave my high school commencement address low these many years ago. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't listen with discerning ears, or that we can't ask for better use of the 15 minutes in the future. What teenagers and 20-somethings need to hear is not another speech about all of us marching to the beat of our own drums. They need to hear that lasting success comes from hard work and delayed gratification, and that the dreams worth chasing are dreams of character and not career, that going further than we thought possible never happens without embracing our limitations, that self-denial will make you more friends and will make you happier in the long run than self-expression, that duty and joy are not mutually exclusive, that finding meaning in life comes when you finally forget about yourself, and that being true to what is good and right and beautiful is more important than being true to yourself. So I think he really makes some great points here. He said, if you have to sit through another graduation speech this spring, it might as well be one that eschews the silliness of find your own selfism, and focuses on virtue instead. I think he makes some really good points there. That's the type of message that our young people need to hear, and not just in a 15-minute graduation speech, you know, commencement speech that's given, but rather this is a message that they need to hear over and over again in this life. The culture around them is telling them something way different. And the Christian culture, which is always counterculture to what the world is doing, needs to give them this type of a message that he points out here. That's what we need to be saying to our young people. I think you can read this statement that was made by Kevin DeYoung. You can read it out on his blog, which is now on the Gospel Coalition. So you can go out to their website, www.thegospelcoalition.org. And the title of it was, Beware the Graduation Speech. Beware the Graduation Speech. And again, it was by Kevin DeYoung. If you're not familiar with him, he's the senior pastor of University Reformed Church in East Lansing, Michigan. That's near Michigan State University. And you can find out more about him and follow him on social media there as well.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.